help out Alan and Kim on their little vacation. Now, Ronnie told you they went to see the Ark, and they went to Creation Museum, but I give them a hard time because I know where they are today. They're in Memphis at Graceland to see Elvis. So don't let them live that one down. Praise the Lord. Well, Bethy and I are glad to be here. We've been running together a long time, doing this together a long time. Been married 56 years, and hope to get quite a few more years in before heaven. But it's always a delight to come to Luling. We feel a real kinship to the church here since its inception, and have been here many, many times to preach. So it's great to be here again. Praise God. Did you think Ronnie and them did a good job this morning? I thought it was really excellent. Yeah. Very good. Praise God. Yeah, it's good. Well, I brought my two books. You might take a look at those. The one's my outdoor book. Many of you have read my outdoor book. It's a collection of hunting, fishing, camping stories, each of which goes from the natural to the spiritual, teaching a principle of the kingdom of God. I've sold thousands of copies of this book, and you might like to look at it. And then my new book, The Disciple Jimmy. It occurred to me one day that I had the same name as one of the original disciples, James. So I wrote a book from the perspective of being there with Jesus, as James was, and all the things that happened, and how we reacted to those things that you might not figure out how we would have reacted, but probably differently when you would think. And so it's a pretty neat book. You might want to look at that one too. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that your Word, Lord, is alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you that your Word will cut into our hearts. Your Word will reveal our hearts. Your Word will reveal Jesus to us because He is the Word. We just thank you this morning and bless you. Pray that the Word of God come alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as most of you know, this is the 500-year anniversary. This actual very month that Martin Luther tacked his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church, causing what we know as the Protestant Reformation to explode in history. At that point, the church had become very steeped in tradition and ceremonies and rituals and works. And Luther's protest, as was in those theses, one of the protests was, and became one of the foundations of the Protestant Reformation, is that instead of all these traditions and ceremonies, let's go back to the Bible. Sola Scriptura, the Word of God, the Scriptures alone. And I know that Alan has talked to you about that, and out of that he's been teaching on the Word of God, and so I'm going to continue this morning teaching on the Word of God. So, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 12. Excuse me. Proverbs 20 and verse 12. The Scripture says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." Now, of course, he's speaking first of all about these eyes, physical eyes, and these ears. But the writer is speaking about more than that. He's speaking about the eyes of our heart, spiritual eyes, and the ears of our heart, spiritual ears. Eyes to see beyond the obvious. Eyes to see into the realm of the invisible. Faith has to do with things not seen. Eyes to see into that faith realm. Eyes to see who God is. Eyes to see the wonderful things that happened at the cross. Eyes to see who we are. Eyes to see what happened to our enemy, the devil. All those things. Spiritual eyes to see unseen realities. And spiritual ears to hear the voice and the Word of the Lord. Now, in the Gospels, in chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus says that the Pharisees had eyes, but they saw not. And they had ears, but they heard not. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears will they hear. Now, he was not speaking just about the 12 disciples. He was speaking about all of his disciples down to the ages who would walk with him, that our ears are blessed, our eyes are blessed, and our ears are blessed. We have eyes to see, and we have ears to hear. How many of you believe that? You have spiritual eyes. You can see into the realm of the invisible, into the realm of unseen realities, and you have spiritual ears to hear the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Now, if I had time, I'd like to preach on the seeing eye and the hearing ear, but I don't. So this morning we will just speak about the hearing ear. So let's turn to Psalm 40. We'll begin there. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Now, Psalm 40, verse 6, and you immediately recognize this is a messianic scripture. This is a prophetic scripture about Jesus the Christ who was to come. But it's not just about the Messiah. It's also about Messiah and the messianic people. So we read in verse 6, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear." Now, literally in the Hebrews, it says that you have digged ears for me. It's the picture of a sculpture, making a sculpture of a person in clay. And as it comes to the facial features, he digs out the ears. And so the scripture says that sacrifice and offering you don't desire, but ears you have digged for me. You have given me open ears to hear. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Then I said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." And so Jesus the Messiah had open ears to hear the word and the will of his Father. Notice that it says God does not delight himself in just religious activities, but he delights in those who have open ears to hear His Word and His will. And Jesus heard the Word, He heard the will of His Father, and He obeyed and did it. And in the same way, God has digged ears for us. And as it says in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, seven times, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do you have an ear to hear? Blessed are your ears because they hear. Praise God. Now let's go to Isaiah 50. The prophet Isaiah. Verses 4 through 6. Again, this is a messianic prophecy. Speaks of Jesus, but also to the Jesus people. I call this the counselor scripture. How many of you here feel you have a ministry of counseling, that you like to encourage people, you like to take the Word of God and help build them up in the Lord? How many? Do we have some that are counselors in here? We have several hands that feel that they have that ministry of counseling. And so, concerning Jesus, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. Morning by morning he wakens. He wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to those who pulled out the beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And so Jesus says, the Lord, the Father, wakens my ear every morning. And I have heard what His mission and call upon my life is to be. Therefore, when they begin to tear my back with the whip, pull my beard out from the roots, and spit upon me, I submitted to it because I had come as Redeemer of all the world. Praise God. So He wakens my ear in the morning. Praise God. And I was not rebellious, and I turned not back. May it be said of us too, that we hear His Word, our ears are open, and we are obedient. We are not rebellious, but we do His will. Praise God. Now, let's go to the New Testament, Matthew 4:4. Now, the context of the Scripture, remember Jesus in the desert, and He's being tempted of the devil. And the devil says, command these stones to be turned to bread. But verse 4 says, but Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, how many of you know we need bread to live? Right? Physical bread. We need material substance to live. But man shall not live by material substance alone. Most of the world lives by material substance alone. They are one-dimensional. But Jesus says, we are not to be one-dimensional. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, the Greek word, translated word here, is rhema. Now, I know that Alan has taught y'all the difference between the Logos and the Rhema, but I will review it. The Logos is the complete, total, and final Word of God. It is the Bible. This is the Logos. The Rhema is the spoken Word. The Rhema is the personalized Word of God to your heart. So all of us have had the experience of reading the Logos, reading the Bible, enjoying the Bible, learning history from the Bible, becoming a more educated person by reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, off of that page comes a word. Off of that page comes a verse right into your heart as God is speaking to you a personalized word. That's the Rhema. So Logos is the total, complete, written Word of God. Rhema is the personalized Word of God. And so Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every Rhema, every spoken word, every personalized word of God. Now go to Romans 10:17. Most of us are very familiar with this verse. Actually, Paul is quoting from Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our word? He's quoting from Isaiah 53. And in verse 17 he says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the word is translated word there. Is rhema again. Faith comes by hearing a rhema from God. Anytime God speaks a personalized word to you, faith will come to do what He just told you to do. Always. Faith comes by hearing a personal word from God. And when He speaks that to us, faith comes to do what He's telling us to do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing a rhema from God. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about how the rhema may come to our ears. It may come in a number of ways. First of all, it may come by reading the Bible, reading the Logos. And as I said a while ago, all of a sudden, God highlights, God underlines something that we're reading. And that becomes the rhema to our heart. You cannot underestimate reading the Bible. You need to read the Bible every day. The Bible is God's complete, total, and final Word. If you read a lot of this Logos, sooner or later, one of those verses that come off the page into your heart. And that's the Rhema word of the Lord. That's the personalized word of the Lord. So that's one way we hear the Rhema. Another way is that when we have stored up the Logos in our heart, stored it up, we've memorized Scripture, we've sang Scripture, we've read Scripture, and it has become in the storehouse of our heart. And then one day we're walking down the road, and all of a sudden, out of that reservoir of word that's in us, bingo, out comes a personalized word. That's the Rhema of the Lord. God speaking out of that which was stored up in our heart. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I stored up in my heart, that I might not sin against God." It's important that we store the Logos in our heart, because it becomes then a source for Him to speak personally to us. Sometimes He speaks a Rhema through dreams and visions. You remember when Paul and the apostolic team on the second missionary journey were struggling as to where to go next to preach the gospel? They tried to go into Bithynia. They tried to go into this country. It says the Lord forbid them to go. And they're kind of in a state of confusion. And that night, Paul has a vision. And he sees a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over! Cross over to the European continent and help us!" It says the next morning, concluding that the Lord had spoken to them, they crossed over onto the European continent to the city of Philippi to preach the gospel for the first time in Europe. But that was a rhema that came through a vision. A rhema may come through a sermon. Alan may just be preaching, and something off the cuff, maybe not even in line with his main theme, something off the cuff, God just takes that word and throws it into your heart. That's the rhema, word of the Lord. The rhema may come, maybe you're driving along, and there's a billboard up there. Maybe you haven't been coming to church very regularly, and on the billboard it says, "I am missing you at my house, God." And all of a sudden, boom, that word comes into your heart. That's the rhema. The rhema may come out of the mouth of a person, of a friend. Maybe you're having breakfast with a friend, and you've been pondering a certain situation, wondering how to go there, what to do here. And out of their mouth, they say something, you know, wow, that's it. That's the word of the Lord to your heart. It may come through a testimony. Someone gives something, gives a testimony. And you hear that, and you say, wow, God did that for them. And He speaks, He'll do it for me. A testimony. Maybe a prophetic word. Maybe someone speaks a prophetic word. They speak a word from the Spirit to your life, and you hear it, and it becomes the rhema. Listen, this is why it's important to be a part of the body of Christ. If you're out here by yourself, you cut off a lot of what God may speak to you, because He'll speak to you sometime through these folks right here. He'll speak to you through a friend, through a fellow member of the church. So it's important that we be a part of the family of God. He may speak a rhema to you through nature. Maybe you just up one morning and the sun is coming up, it's so glorious and beautiful, and you just hear the Holy Spirit speak a word to you out of the beauty of the creation all around you. The Bible says that the creation reveals the Creator. What the things that are seen speak of the one who is invisible, praise God. So it may come through nature. Or maybe you're just reading a book, a Christian book or some other kind of book. Maybe it's one of those little devotional books that's like on the back of the toilet, you know? Thought for the day. And you pick that thing up and read it, and all of a sudden, boom, it's right into your heart. Wow! The Rhema word of the Lord. Or the Rhema may come not by reading something, it just may come by that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit within you, as He begins to whisper His Word to your heart. All those are ways that we hear the Rhema of the Lord. And when we hear the Rhema, faith cometh by hearing a Rhema from God. Now, I'm going to tell four stories here, and we're through. Each of which illustrates a different way that God speaks the Rhema to us. These are things that happened in my life, ways that He spoke the Rhema, word of the Lord, to me. Many of you have heard this story, but I'll tell it again because there's lots of new people here who haven't heard this story. When Bethy and I had been married 13 years, we had been able, unable to have any children of our own, and we had adopted two beautiful children who we had come to believe would be the totality of our family. And then to our surprise and delight, little Timothy was on the way. The only problem was he came 2 months early. And I'll never forget walking into that hospital room that night in Austin, Texas, and the doctor turned to me and he said, "Are you Reverend Darnell?" I said, "I am." He said, "I don't know if you are of the faith that believes in baptizing babies, but if you are, you need to baptize baby Timothy because his chances are not good. His lungs are underdeveloped. He has other physical complications. We're going to do everything we can to keep him alive, but his chances are not good. So if you believe in baptizing babies, you should do it." I remember driving back to San Marcos that night, how heavy my heart was. All these years we'd wanted a baby, and now we had a beautiful baby boy, and the sentence of death had been pronounced upon him. I went to the home of one of our leaders who was keeping my other two children. I'll never forget the sight I saw that night when I walked into that house. At that time, we were running the Morningstar Coffee House downtown San Marcos. And when I walked into that house, there were young people all over the floor of the living room, down the hall on the floor, back into the back rooms on the floor, and I could hear them praying, "Oh God, have mercy on baby Timothy. Have mercy on Brother Jimmy's little baby." I took my two children, took them home, put them to bed, and then I got along alone before the Lord, and we began to have a talk. And I said, "Lord, all these years since you have filled me with the Holy Spirit, I have prayed for miracles in the lives of hundreds and hundreds of your children, but now I need a miracle in my own life and family." And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ears, not these ears, but these ears. And He said, "Turn to Psalm 112. At that time, I was not familiar with that psalm. I am now. And so I turned to Psalm 112 and I read, and He said, the Holy Spirit said, "Read verse 1. It says, 'Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments.'" The Holy Spirit asked me two questions. He says, "Son, do you fear me?" I said, "Lord, I fear you with all my heart." He says, "Do you greatly delight in my commandments?" I said, "Lord, I love the Bible. I love to read the Bible. I love to study the Bible. I love to teach the Bible to your people." He said, "Okay." Then read verse 2. "Concerning the man that fears God and loves His Word," verse 2 says, "His seed or His children will be mighty on the earth." When I read that phrase, "on the earth," came right into my heart. I said, "Lord, if He's going to be mighty on the earth, that means He's not going to die." The Holy Spirit said, "Now you got it." Faith coming by hearing, right? A rhema from God. I latched on to that. And then the Holy Spirit began to give me instruction. So there's going to be a fierce battle fought over his life. He's to walk under a very powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when you go to the hospital to see him, if the nurses tell you he's had a good day, don't rejoice. If they tell you he's had a bad day, don't grieve. I've given you my report that he will be mighty on the earth. And so for 19 days that battle raged, and we would go to see him. One day they'd say, "Oh, he's doing better today. He's doing better. He's a real fighter." And we wouldn't rejoice. We'd go another day and they said, "Oh, it's been a real downturn. He's struggling for his life." We wouldn't grieve. We were walking according to the report of the Word of God that he would be mighty on the earth. The end of 19 days, weighing almost 4 pounds, we brought him home. That's been 43 years ago. 43 years ago. He is the pastor of our church in San Marcos. He and his wife walk under a very powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're all over the world teaching the Word of God, leading people to Christ. And it all happened because these ears, heard the Word of the Lord, that he would be mighty on the earth. Praise God. Second story. Now you think how the rhema came there. Summer before last, Beth and I went on the medical ship, the medical mercy ship, to Madagascar, Africa. This church actually helped us to go. We're thankful for that. And we were making preparations to go, looking forward to that 2 months we'd spend on that ship ministering. And not long before we were to leave, just a few weeks before we were to leave, Bethy got up one morning. She couldn't get up. Her back was in terrible pain. Tom Ray next door had to come over, and he and Kathy had help us lift her, took her to the emergency room. They shot her full of morphine because the pain was so intense. And she had never had back trouble before. Now, begin to put this together. Here we are fixing to go on this mission trip. She's never had back trouble in her life, and now she can't walk. Well, we got her into physical therapy, and that was able to help her some. And the time now is drawing near for us to leave for Africa. And I have people coming to me and said, "You're not going to take Beth out of this country with her sick like that, are you? I think you ought to stay here." We're getting all these voices. What are we going to do? And then, I wasn't reading the Bible. This came up out of the reservoir. Came up out of the storehouse. This word came to me. Concerning the 10 lepers, Jesus turns to these 10 lepers and He says, "Go show yourself to the priest." The priest didn't have power to heal anybody. All they could do was proclaim that you had been healed. But in obedience to His command, they took off. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. I said, "Bethy, we're going to win. And on the way, you'll be healed." And so I pushed her through the New York airport in a wheelchair. It was difficult getting there. But when we stepped on the mercy ship, her back was healed. And for 2 months, working 10.5 hours a day on her feet in the kitchen, I'm in here washing dishes, and she's serving on the kitchen floor. For 2 months, 10.5 hours a day, her back does not hurt her at all. As they went, they were healed. Praise God. That's cool, isn't it? I like that. Well, let me tell you another one. This one goes way back, way back. When I got out of the Baptist Seminary, the first church that I pastored was the Buckner Boys Ranch Baptist Church on Lake Lyndon B. Johnson in the Hill Country. Beautiful campus, 4,000 acres right there in the heart of deer country, and everybody on the staff had their own little place on the ranch where they got to hunt deer and all. It was a cool, it was a pretty neat assignment. But I began to figure out real quick, our church ministered to the boys on the ranch, to the staff, and to people in the community. I began to figure out real quick that 4 years of college and 3 years of Baptist seminary had not prepared me to pastor this church. These boys who came to this ranch they weren't true orphans. They were broken home orphans. 85% of them came from alcoholic homes. They had deep, deep emotional hurts and problems. Some of them had been physically abused. They were a mess. And I could lead them to Christ, but I didn't know how to get them free. I knew nothing about deliverance. I knew nothing about laying hands and praying for that kind of healing. I knew nothing. And so I began to become frustrated as the pastor there. And so I began to do a study of the New Testament on the subject of the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear much about Him in seminary. But I began to study the New Testament, and I found out that Holy Spirit was everywhere in that New Testament. And I began to hunger to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. I began to hunger for that in my life. I knew I needed that power. At the same time, I had a bondage in my life that I couldn't break. And so here I was, I felt so powerless in this bondage that had been. Every Sunday I'd get up to preach and the devil would say, "You are a phony. You're preaching a dynamite gospel with a firecracker life." You know, just, it was a tough time. Tough time. Well, we had a revival meeting coming up. Baptist Church had a revival those days. You had a spring revival, a fall revival, full week. And usually an evangelist would come in. They'd preach for a week. And you supposedly had revival. But anyway, we had a revival on the calendar. And I thought, man, I'm doing good to preach from Sunday to Sunday. I'd never preach a whole week in a row. So I said, "Lord, I don't know who to invite for this revival. So I'm just asking you to find them for me." And we began to draw near to the time for the revival. And people would ask me, Who's coming to preach the revival? I said, I don't know. God's going to send them. Well, one day, Beth and I took a day off, and we drove up into the Texas Hill Country, up around Fredericksburg, up in the pretty part of the Hill Country. And we passed this little white frame Cracker Box Baptist Church building with this name on it, Calvin, I'll not give the last name, blank. And God said, call him. He'll preach the revival for you. See, that was rhema word coming to my heart. Call him. He'll preach the revival for you. I didn't know the guy. A little bit I knew about him. He was a singer, not a preacher. Call him. He'll preach the revival for you. So I got his number and I called him. And I said, Calvin, this is Jimmy Dornell. I'm pastor of the Buckner Boys Ranch Baptist Church. We have a revival scheduled in a few weeks. I wonder if you'd like to come preach it. He didn't say, brother, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. He said, I'll come. So he came. He came in on a Sunday afternoon, sat down in our living room, and he said, Brother Dornell, before we do anything else this week, I got to tell you about a wonderful thing that has happened to me. He said, I had this bondage in my life. And he begins to describe it as the same bondage that I have. And he said, but God filled me with the Holy Spirit, and he said, I'm a free man. I never told him the problem I had. I never told him anything. But in that moment I said, Lord, if you did it for him, you did it for me. Instantly was delivered from that problem. Moved into a new dimension of walking in the Holy Spirit. Had I had any instruction at all, I would have spoken in tongues at that time. But I stepped into a new dimension of the Spirit that I had never known before. Praise God. Lord, you did it for him. You did it for me. See how the rhema came in that situation. Here's the last one. Some of you have heard this story. Actually, this story is the chapter number one in my outdoor book, the story about the dogs and the deer. Those of you who've read that, it's quite a story. In the summer of 1982, Beth and I and our children moved to Pensacola, Florida, to pastor Liberty Church for Brother Ken Summerall so he could be free to travel as an apostle across the country. We arrived there in June, and we soon learned that the singles were having a retreat across the state line in Alabama in September. And as the new pastor, they invited me to be the speaker, which I was glad to do. It'd be an opportunity to get to know the singles in the church. I'll never forget when that day arrived, September the 3rd, Friday, September the 3rd, 1982. And we lived on Perdita Bay, which was the boundary between Florida and Alabama. And so I got up early that morning, got in my boat, crossed over to the Alabama side to do some fishing. It was one of those beautiful Florida-Alabama mornings. The sun was just coming up over the bay. Exceedingly beautiful. And I got over there and just began to fish along the Alabama shoreline. Just wanting to be alone. Just kind of me and the Lord talking about what I'm supposed to speak on tonight at this retreat. Just give me your word to speak on. And I'm just fishing, just having a good time, catching some speckled trout and some redfish and some flounders. Just having a good time. And then I heard these dogs barking way back in the Lillian Swamp. And I remember the thought came to me, I bet those dogs are running a deer. And after a while, I just forgot about the dogs, went on fishing. I don't know, maybe an hour and a half later, I heard the dogs again. But this time, they're out in the middle of the bay barking. And I thought, what in the world would dogs be doing out in a saltwater bay barking? They must have a deer out there in deep water. Well, I fished my way around this point. Sure enough, I looked down the bay, and I saw these heads bobbing in the waves, just barking. And so curiosity overcame me, and I laid down the fishing pole, pulled in the electric troll motor, cranked the gasoline engine, ran down the bay, and the scene that I came upon was a pitiful scene. There were five dogs, and they had this old doe in deep water, and they were trying to drown her, and the front dog was actually reaching out with his paws and pushing down her to push her under the water. And the only way I can describe it is that when I saw that, compassion rose up in my heart for that doe. Now, don't think that I'm a greenie. I hunt deer, I shoot deer, I eat deer. But for this deer, I felt compassion. I don't like 5-1 odds in any fight. We say we'll make it 5-2. So I ran the boat right in between the dogs and the deer. I actually ran over the front dog, knocked him out of the way, positioned the boat right against the deer. The dogs quickly became discouraged, turned, swam back to shore and disappeared. That old doe began to make a long, slow arc of a swim back toward the shallow water of Perdita Bay. I knew she was very tired, might go down under at any moment, so I pulled the boat right up beside her. If these chairs are her, I got the boat right here beside her. My plan being, if she begins to go under, I'm going to grab her by the ears, pull her in the boat, and save her life. And so she's making this long swim, and I've got the electric trolling motor on, and we're just following her. And I'm just talking to her. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. You got power. You can do it. This crazy preacher talking to this deer. Come on. Come on. We're going to make it. We're going to make it, baby. And eventually, her feet touched the bottom of Perdita Bay, and she began to wade out of the bay. When she got up about ankle deep, one of those remarkable things happened in the world of nature that may happen only once or twice in your life if you spend a lot of time out there. She whirled around and faced me. At that moment, I knew, she knew, I was not her enemy. I was her friend. I pulled the boat up there as close as I could get in that shallow water, took my rod and reel, and I just began to flip my lure right over by her feet. And I'm looking right into her eyes, and we are in a zone. Looking into each other's eyes. Eventually, she turned, stepped into the brush, and disappeared. As I turned to leave, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And He said, "You saved her life." I said, "I did." He said, "You put yourself between her and her enemies, and you stayed there till she could get her feet back on solid ground." I said, "I did." And then I heard the Holy Spirit speak so plainly to me in these ears. He said, "That's what I want my church to do. So that when the hounds of hell have someone in deep water about to take them down, some friend will arise, put themselves between them, that one and their enemies, and fight the good fight of faith for them till they can get their feet back on solid ground. That's what I want my church to do." Wow. In that moment, it became so clear to me that church was not ritual and ceremonies and candles and programs. Church was just loving one another. Amen? Amen. Standing with one another. Amen. In the trials of life. Praise God. Wow. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't have to worry about what to preach on that night at the retreat. I had it. Praise God. But see, the Rhema word of the Lord. God speaking in that situation through nature, right? In other situations, He's spoken through the written Word of God, the Logos. In other situations, He spoke through a person, a friend. So many ways that the Rhema can come to you, but faith cometh by hearing a Rhema from God, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by the personal Word of the Lord coming to our hearts. God, waken our ears in the morning like Jesus. Waken our ears to hear, praise God. May we hear with spiritual ears what You are doing and what You are saying. Let's bow together for prayer. Thank You, Jesus. Let's just listen to the Holy Spirit just a moment. You have ears to hear. He is the God who speaks, and we have ears to hear. Blessed are Your ears, for they hear. We thank You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Bless You. Let's just listen for just a moment. He may be speaking a rhema to you right now. Here's what I want to do as we close. Maybe some of you say, "Brother Jimmy, it seems like I've got some kind of wax in my spiritual ears. I used to hear the voice of the Lord. I used to hear the Word of the Lord. I used to hear the Rhema of God. But it seems like I can't hear well anymore. It seems like I've become dull of hearing, maybe like those Pharisees were." I want to lay hands on people this morning and pray that your ears be opened, that your ears become very sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God. That's what we're going to pray. Ears to be opened. to hear what the Spirit is saying to you and to the church today.